Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Delusional Diaries Podcast, Episode 5. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Jazz. Today, we're getting into a girl talk friendship type of episode. And I just had like a rough day, if I'm being honest. Like, the Apple Store was a lot for me. So, which, grand scheme of things, not that deep. But it was a lot for me today.
Okay.
So, I just am like on one, and I would like to calm down. I've been taking these magic mind shots before I edit the podcast because it helps me focus. So we should take some now because it also makes you like calm down. And yeah. I'm kind of on edge.
I'll go on 15 tangents during this podcast, so I could use one.
Kevin, can you throw us some? Should we do cheers to love, cheers to honor?
Yeah.
Cheers.
Tastes really good. It's like matcha, but with like a little spicy.
That's what Kevin said when he tried them.
Well, there's matcha in it, so.
You're not even reading the ingredients. Like, they just taste good. Like, I like it here.
No, I like that a lot.
Anyways, so today we're getting into like girl talk. We asked for questions on Instagram for like what you guys wanted to chat about, basically. This is not advice. This is our personal opinions, our thoughts that you asked for. And remember, you can always turn it off.
It's just like a FaceTime call of us talking and sharing our opinions.
We're not, you're also here.
Yeah, we're not doctors. We're not therapists.
Thank fucking God. Yeah. Can you imagine?
I'd be so scared of you if you were my doctor.
I would take great care of you.
I think you would, but then I don't know.
You'd be the worst therapist. You'd be like, rub some fucking dirt.
Oh, I would. I'd be like, God made dirt. Dirt don't hurt. Rub it on. Call it a day. 100%.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Five stars, please. 5 stars, please.
I was deep cleaning my apartment before this, and now I'll go back to that and really hardcore deep clean, or I'll go focus. I literally just play the Drake song that says "Fuck My Ex" on repeat, like the entire time I walked here, my 30-minute walk here. It just like it's like "Fuck My Ex," "Fuck My Ex," and I literally just play that, and I'm like, okay, okay, yeah. It really motivates me. Like, I'm like, all right, period. Or, like, I'll occasionally throw a Taylor Swift one in there, but I'm, like, over the sad Taylor Swift. It's more like
Reputation
a
era?
Taylor. No.
You don't like Reputation?
I don't know. I've listened to some, but I need to listen to more, probably. Oh my,
which ones have you listened to?
Say I did something bad.
Why does it feel so good?
trying to think of the other ones. I don't know. I like, I've been in my Red era.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually love to hear that.
Well, there's a lot of good ones on there. I Bet You Think About Me, that one. Babe. I've been listening to only Taylor's version because if I don't, like, I think I accidentally put, made a podcast or a playlist. And, like, I put, like, a song on there. I think I put Clean on there or something. People are, like, crucifying me for not putting Taylor's version. I was like, well, oh, honestly, I'm sorry. I get it.
They should crucify you because it's out now. If it's an album that's not out yet with her version, like, so valid, so fair.
You know, I didn't realize. It was just, like, putting it on. I didn't know. But, it, yeah, I think the Taylor's version's ones are better anyway.
Yeah.
Like, than the normal.
Mm-hmm. The only one's better, like, the old version, is Speak Now. Better. I listened to Better Than Revenge.
No.
Oh my God. Pause.
Okay.
But when the new version came out, she didn't say like she's better known for the things that she does in the mattress. She was like, she's a moth to the flame and something stupid because she was like, oh. Women.
You know? Yeah, I know women. It.
It just, it's a great song. Anyways.
Wait, okay. I said that because I want to give you your Christmas gift.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm surprising you. Okay.
If you guys didn't watch the last episode, by the way, if you didn't watch the video version, there was a picture in this corner over here, and it was Finley and Oslo, painted on, in a frame. That's what I got Hallie, just so you know.
Yes, Jazz already did give me my Christmas gift.
I'm impatient.
But I made my first ever TikTok shop purchase, okay? But I saw this, and I was like, I had to get this. Like, I was going to send it to you and be like, you need? And then I was like, wait, I should actually just
Should I close my eyes?
Yeah, close your eyes. Okay. Okay, I'm putting the mic down.
I'm so scared.
Wait. Okay, open.
Stop it! Oh my god, I'm actually so excited because I got tagged in this like a million times.
Oh, really?
Do I really need to like pull a trigger? That's what I get concerned about money for. I'm like, do I really need to do it?
No, it's one of those things that you're like, this is fucking stupid, but it's like funny. I don't know. I got it in like a large or something, so it would be oversized, but. I gotta say, TikTok shop is the easiest thing on the planet to buy from. Like, I could not believe it took me actually 0.2 of a second.
This is not an ad.
No, it's not an ad. I'm about to use that fucking eligible for commission though. I'm like, guys, go buy it.
God. Thank you, Hallie.
Oh my god, of course.
That was so sweet and thoughtful. I know. I do want you to know, like, I actually use the birthday present you got me every single night.
The Squishmallow?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I snuggle with my hamburger like every single night.
I love that.
So thank you for that. Wow, thank you. That was so nice.
Okay, whatever. Cut that part.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, today I think we have a lot of good topics.
Oh my god, so many. We posted on the podcast Instagram at Delusional Diaries Podcast, and we're like, we're going to do like a friendship girl talk, just the girliest type of episode. And we got so many good questions. Let me just say before we get into this, a lot of you guys have some shitty ass friends, because most of the questions were like, my friend is a fucking asshole. Like, so, just like you guys are going through it.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, first of all. But we're going to do like some friendship stuff, dating stuff, sex stuff, relationships, body, just a bunch of stuff.
All the topics. I have some good ones that Amazing. I have written down.
What should we start with?
Okay, let's start with sex.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I feel like that's more interesting. I don't know. Well, what do you have?
Well, I just wrote them down. Do you use lube? Have you ever used lube?
I have never. No. I think I got sent it once and I was like, oh, we should. And then I just like didn't end up using it. I don't know.
Yeah, I just personally never have. One, I don't feel like going out and getting it. And yeah. Two, I've just never felt like the need where I have to have it. I feel like the one period of time where I went like on a literal dry spell of my vagina from medication, I just wasn't having sex, so it wasn't really an issue for me. So I never like really needed to go get it.
Yeah, this is my thing with lube. Absolutely no shame. Use it like if you need it. Like it will make the sex better. So I don't
That's
know why you wouldn't.
For, yeah.
But my thing is, the only time I would say I ever need lube is like sometimes I'm a little drier when I'm first hooking up with somebody, like ever, like the first time, because I'm just like nervous or whatever. Yeah. And I don't feel as comfortable. And I think that's a time when I would need lube, but I feel awkward on imagine like first hookup. If you have the confidence for that, more fucking power to you. But for me, I feel like I would not just be like, can I reach into the drawer and grab this lube? So I just suck it up and am on the drier side. And then as I progress into hooking up with somebody where I'd be comfortable enough to ask for lube, I won't need it. So
yeah,
that's my.
I get what you're saying. I think also for me, I'm like allergic to so much random stuff. I'd be so afraid I'd be allergic to it. And I'd have like a really not fun situation down there to where I just don't think it's worth the risk for me personally.
Your vagina's just on fire.
Yeah. Like that's very frightening to me as a whole. And I just wouldn't try it. But if you like, you are dry, like don't have uncomfortable, like dry sex, you should try looking shit up and finding the right.
Yeah. That's like a thing that people actually are on the drier side and use lube. I would.
I mean, having painful sex sounds horrible to me, so I feel like that's the best solution. Do you want to talk about virginities?
Yeah, we can talk about virginity. We talked about it.
The one time we talked about it, we cut it out.
But I think we talked about it again.
We also didn't put that episode out.
We didn't?
No,
okay.
It was the episode where I was like, I don't want to put an episode out this week. That was not funny. It sucked, and we didn't talk about it.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about virginity. How'd you lose yours? Well,
yeah. Okay, so we got a lot of questions just in general about, like, our stories of losing it and like regrets about losing all those kinds of things. So I'm just going to kind of sum it up. I lost my virginity when I was 17 and I wasn't dating anybody. All my friends that had low-key all lost theirs already, which looking back, I'm like, I don't think that anyone should have been having sex that way, but like, whatever. But I was just like, I really liked this guy. I liked him for like literally years, and he was the biggest fucking douchebag. Like, hindsight's 2020, and like, he would give me the bare fucking minimum just to like keep me around. And like, one, like, my parents were out of town like one weekend, and I was like, oh, like, you can come over. And like, it was Valentine's Day. We weren't like talking at all, but it just happened to be that day of the year, and we had sex. And like, I trauma blocked it out because like, it wasn't a good experience by any means, and he was like an absolute asshole afterwards, and I fully regretted it and wish I wouldn't have done it. But then I was like, oh, whatever, and I got it over with. But like, looking back, I was like, it caused me some shit by just trying to get it over with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people just do that, where they just do it to get it over with. I did the same. I was 19, I think I was 19. And I was like, I cannot turn 20 years old, and I can't be out of my teenage years and not have lost my virginity. That's a bad way to think. There's nothing wrong with being 20 years old and a virgin, but I just simply couldn't handle it. So I was visiting my friend at the University of Alabama, and I literally went out with the intention. I was like at the bar, and I was like, I am going to have sex with someone. I don't know who, but I will. We're at the bar, and my friend's boyfriend played on the hockey team. So he had brought all of his teammates, and this guy, he was like a super, super, super senior. I'm telling you, this man was probably like 25 or 26. Like, I don't know what the fuck you were doing still in college. It was like, because a lot of hockey players will do that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even know. So he was old as fuck, and he was vibing with me, and I have no idea why. I know people are like, oh, don't speak to yourself badly. I think I am like pretty decent looking now. I was actually fugly then. I had dyed my hair brown. I was really unfortunate looking. And for some reason we were vibing, and he ends up bringing me back to his apartment. I did not tell him I was a virgin. We end up having horrible sex. It was so bad. And not even just because of me being a virgin. Like, looking back, I'm like, that was objectively bad on his part. Like, he was just bad at sex. I'm so sorry if he sees this. We still follow each other on Instagram. Anyway, and so then I am laying there in his bed after we have sex, and he's like, okay, you want to spend the night? I'm like, no, I actually need to leave. I was like, I want to go back to stay with my friend. I can't be here. So it wasn't that far. I was just going to walk. That was a really poor choice on my part to even want to walk. It's very unsafe at night in that area, specifically where they lived. But it was like only a 5-minute walk. So he's like, I'll drive you. He had not been drinking. He was fine to drive me. But he drove me, and he drives into the apartment complex. And there's like a gate code to get in so I can go to my friend's apartment. He's like, a lot of my friends live here. I'm pretty sure the gate code is like 2222. And I literally look at this man. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Why the fuck would the gate code be 2222? And I'm like, you're so fucking stupid. I literally said all that to his face. And then I get out of the car. I go. The gate is 10 feet tall. I scale this gate in my fucking miniskirt. My vagina is coming out.
Did you even try to use the code?
No. I wouldn't let him. I'm like, being such a cunt. Won't let him use the code. I scale the gate. I fall over it. Literally, imagine this man just watching me. Like, my vagina's just like out. I'm like, look disgusting. Makeup is down my face. Whatever. I go to my friend's apartment door, and it's locked. I can't get in because it's like the stairwell, whatever. I'm calling her. She won't answer her phone. This man's just still sitting in his car watching this all unfold. And I start just under her balcony. She lives on like the 5th floor. I'm screaming. I'm like, Delaney, get the fuck out here. Finally, her dog wakes up. It comes out on the balcony, and she's like, oh my God. She runs down. She opens the door for me. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And then I'm like, that man was such a fucking idiot. He thought your gate code was 2222. And Delaney's like, it is. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, I could have avoided a lot of that. Unfortunate, whatever. And then, yeah, I never talked to him again. Never would want to. Like, oh, he gives me the ick. But I was glad to have gotten it over with, and it didn't cause me any trauma. I was actually just glad, because I feel like it gave me the confidence boost to not feel like, oh, I'm a virgin, so then the next people that I was hooking up with, I didn't
feel like, oh, they're taking my virginity, and it felt like less pressure. But I definitely don't recommend.
Yeah, I think you have to do what's best for you. Yeah. But like me personally, looking back, I was like, I wish I would have not gone that route with that specific person. Like, getting it over with wasn't my issue. It was getting it over with that person that bothered me.
Okay. You were also a little bit younger too, but
yeah. Yeah, it was just like stupid. Did you tell the guy you were a virgin?
No, absolutely.
That's another question we got a lot, was like, if you should tell the guy that you're a virgin.
I think if you plan on having any form of a relationship with them at all, even if it's just a situationship, if you plan on continuing to talk to them, then I probably would. But I think if you're doing just kind of a, we just met, I'm getting it over with you situation, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if you're ever going to have any amount of communication with them again, you gotta tell them.
Did you tell yours?
Well, yeah, he knew.
Oh, he okay.
He said the fucking shittiest thing to me afterwards. So he was like, he had sex with a few other girls that I, from a different school that I knew of, and I'd also taken two other people's virginities, like this girl he dated, and then this other girl I knew from a random school that he hooked up with one time. And he was like, oh, this is so horrible. Like, I hate, like, it just like brings me back to the trauma. Like, we literally finished having sex. He's like, I don't remember how it came about, but he was like, yeah, they call me the virginity taker. And I was like, I hated that so much. And I was like, I felt so like gross afterwards. Yeah. But like, you move on, you get over it. That leads me to the next question, was, do you ever feel like bad or guilty after like having sex with someone? Or have you ever?
The guy that I really, from the last episode that I really didn't want to have sex with, I did. But no, not really. I don't care that much because I don't put that much value into it if it's just a hookup and I know that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like for a short period of time when I did have like an unhealthy relationship with sex and I was having sex for validation, not because I was just horny, I would like feel like, oh, like that wasn't great. It didn't fulfill me in the way I wanted to be fulfilled afterwards. But that's like when I realized that I was having sex for validation and not because like I just like wanted to have sex. So once I fixed that like internal thing, it kind of got rid of the feeling bad after. So
yeah,
if you're feeling bad afterwards, you might have some other shit going on. You might want to unpack.
Yeah.
Vibrators.
What about them?
Just in general, like a lot of questions about like, you like them, you don't like them.
This is what's funny is I was never really a vibrator person. I don't even know. And then you put me on because you're a big vibrator girl. And then, like, for a little bit, I guess I dabbled. But then I got in a relationship and I never touched one again. Because I don't know. I mean, you still do, but I'm not.
Well, it's before we lived together.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't now because, like, he's okay here every night, but like if he was like gone for a night, I'd be like, I'm fucking horny. Like, I'm a very horny person. It's actually it's actually sickening. I don't know why.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I guess I just, I don't know, because I was with my ex almost every day, I never needed to use one. But I guess now I realize it's been a month since we broke up and I'm like, oh, I haven't had sex with anybody. Obviously I honestly have been in a bad mental state where that wasn't even at the forefront of my mind, but I'm like, maybe I guess I need to get back into the vibrator game.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of recommendations. We'll link them on the Instagram story. There's some really great ones out there. I put so many of my friends on the vibrators, I swear to God. But I think it's also because for me, like when I was having more casual sex in the past, I wanted to be able to understand how I could come and like what made me come. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I learned that through using a vibrator all the time. And like the more I did it, the more I understood like what my vibe was and like what I liked and didn't like.
Okay.
So that's my piece for it.
I have a question. Because I just recently learned that I'm able to come from penetrative sex. Are you?
I only have ever once ever.
Okay.
This is not like a consistent thing for me. Like I have to like be like fingered or have head to come.
This is, our digital footprint is so funny.
I'm like imagining me going back to a corporate job and like they're interviewing me and like looking this
just
up.
Just pulling up this clip. No, I did not think it was possible for me to come from actual just like literal sex ever. And then I'm not kidding. One day with my ex, I was having sex with him, and I thought he was really mad at me because I had, like, fallen asleep at Surf Lodge in Montauk. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, my God, he hates me. I, like, woke him up in the middle of the night, and I was like, are you mad at me? He's like, no, I'm not. The next morning, we had sex, and I was just so relieved that he wasn't mad at me that I feel like maybe I was just more comfortable. I don't know. But all of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, my God, wait, what the fuck? And I, like, had an orgasm. I was like, whoa. I was like, I didn't know I could do that. But then every other time after we had sex, I was like, oh my God, like, I can do this. And it's absolutely no offense to anybody, any man I'm having sex with, but it's like, they can't, if I'm having sex with a guy, they can't make me come from just sex. I can just do it, like, while having sex. Does that make sense?
I get what you're saying.
Like, it's because of me. It's like, yeah, if I'm on top and I'm doing
man.
It.
It's not the man. Another question that we got was, like, how do you know you're having an orgasm? I think it, like, you just, how would you not know? Like, if you think, or if you have to think, is this what this is? It's probably not.
Yeah, you'd know.
You'd know.
Yeah, I can't even explain what it is. You just know.
Yeah. So, like, look into that. Like, spend some time with yourself. Get the vibrator that's linked on our Instagram. Someone also asked if you go through phases of not being horny. I'm always the same amount of horny 24/7. Only time I will not be is if I'm on a new medication, and that was fucking hell for me. I wanted to actually unalive myself because I value having an orgasm so
much.
Yeah,
I hated you for the 10 days you were on
I was
that.
A miserable human being because, like, I just, like, I need that to, like, be a pleasant person. Like, I'm so serious.
Okay.
But, like, otherwise, I feel like I'm always, like, the same level of horniness. Unless, like, some, like, really bad shit happens where I'm, like, also, like, depressed. And I'm, like, I don't want to have sex.
Yeah. I feel like when I was in a relationship, I was always at the same level. But now that I'm not, I don't know. I just, like, forget that it exists almost. But then yeah. I'll discover it. And I'm, like, oh, I can't explain.
Yeah. It's I get what just, you're saying.
Yeah. Well, this is a segue.
Okay.
Into, from sex into friendship. Do you think there's a circumstance in which it's okay to hook up with your friend's, like, situationship, ex hookup, whatever?
In a small town.
Yeah. I think because of obviously everything that happened, people might be surprised by my answer, but, like, or I don't even know, but I think that it's fine. It's so circumstantial. Everything is, there's so much, you need context to say whether or not it's okay. Because I have had my fair share of, like, being in a guy friend group and, you know, me and my best friend are talking to two guys in the guy friend group, and then we both decide not for us, whatever. And then we, like, literally have swapped. And it's like, 'cause no one cares and not anybody in that gives a fuck, if that makes sense.
I think the only things that matter is the amount of time something was and the level of seriousness,
mm-hmm.
how close of friends you are. If the other person found out, would they be upset?
Yeah.
And if the roles were reversed, would you be upset? If, like, you were in their shoes.
Yeah.
And is it just because you want to hook up with them, or is it, like, you think that's, like, your person? I think it's also, like, could be important context. And are you in a small town? A small town, I honestly think there's no fucking rules in a small town because, like, there's no other fucking options.
Okay.
I'm so serious. But if you're, like, a big popular place, like,
yeah,
you could probably find someone else.
I don't know. I think if it's just, if your friend was hooking up with somebody, they're done. They're never getting back together and they never had feelings for each other. And then your friend's okay with it and you hook up with them or they don't care. That's all great. I think I personally just get weirded out when I know there was feelings involved. I cannot even get myself to like somebody. It doesn't matter. Even if it's somebody I'm not close with, if I know they were heavily dating somebody, I can't be like, oh, like, because I can only think of them like, oh, that's their ex. They were with them, you know? So I don't know. It's just really circumstantial, I think.
Yeah. And the level of seriousness, like how long it was, like, yeah, is important. How long it's been since then.
Yeah.
What would you do if you didn't like your friend's boyfriend?
I've had situations where this has been a thing. I think it just depends on the person, because there's some friends I've had where I hate their boyfriend, but I know there is nothing I can say or do that's going to make them break up. For the most part, I think you really have to let your friend ride it out. Your friend has to learn the lessons themselves, and they have to come to the conclusion that their boyfriend is a piece of shit on their own. And they might not ever come to that conclusion also, and that's something you have to accept. And I've had friends where I had to accept that, and I had to back away from them because you no matter how much, honestly, all you're going to do is just push your friend away from you if you say, oh, I hate your boyfriend, I hate your boyfriend. You have to let them learn their lessons on their own.
I think I fully agree with what you're saying. I think also, like, as long as your friend isn't in a bad situation where it's, like, abusive in, honestly, any way, shape, or form, or it's, like, super unhealthy, like, there's no reason for you to be that involved and, like, that. And, like, really express your opinions that much. Because, like you said, if you express your opinions too much, your friend's just not going to tell you shit. And then if it does go a way where it turns into something super unhealthy, they're not going to tell you because you already hate them.
Yeah. I would have a little bit of an issue. Like, I had a friend who was, it was the most toxic, classic breaking up, fighting. It was just, it got to a point where I was like, I need to make new friends because I simply couldn't handle being around her, because it was every night out was ruined, because it was like we'd go out and it'd be fun and then he'd be texting her being like, you stupid fucking bitch, and she would be like crying and then leaving, and it's like every night I was going out with her, I was like, this is horrible, we're not having any fun because you're just so obsessed with this. And as much as I would tell her, like, I think, yeah, you guys should be done, probably that's probably not great, she couldn't let it go, and I had to let her ride that out herself. So I think sometimes you just have to accept that's...
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, you saying things to someone who's, like, in it, they're never going to see it. It's irrelevant information until they see it themselves. Like, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
What to do if your friends talk badly about you and how to approach it?
I think it depends on what they were saying, how you found out, all of that. Because truthfully, I expect most people not, I don't know how to word this, to talk a little shit about me. And I'm not necessarily that offended if I'm like, yeah, that's true. And like, would they maybe say that to my face if, like, would they want to say it to my face? No. But if I found out, would they be able to have some explanation around it? And would I be able to be like, okay, I'm not that offended by it. Maybe I'm annoyed. Maybe I'm upset by it. But at the end of the day, I know I can be annoying from time to time. And I know that people probably have valid things to complain about me. But if I heard that you were like, just being like, she's fucking ugly, why would any guys even like her? Or something bad where it's like, what the fuck are you going to say to my face about that? Then I would probably end the friendship over that. But I wouldn't over if I'm sure you say things to Kevin all the time.
Yeah, all day long.
And it's like, I know if I hurt, would you say those to me just 24/7? No, you're just going to complain about them behind my back, obviously, as you should. But if I overheard it, could you explain it to my face? Yeah. And would I be fine with it? Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a difference between venting and talking shit.
Yeah.
And I think talking shit's like, there's an intent behind it to be an asshole and to be a bitch. And I think talking shit's things that you wouldn't say to someone's face if it came up and you were confronted with it.
Yeah.
I think venting, it's like, oh yeah, I express that I have some frustrations that you don't follow through with some things you're going to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And I may bitch about it, but I would also like talk to you about it. But I don't need to vent to you about it because it's not like a thing.
Yeah.
You know? But I think if someone has an intent where it would hurt your feelings, if they know that if you found out you'd be hurt by it and they said it anyway, that's different.
Yeah. And I think it depends on who they were saying it to also. If they were just going around saying it to people where it's easy to get back to you, that's fucked up. But if you like go through your friend's phone and see, I don't know, like it's not okay. Yeah, but
because if you're confiding in someone and like you're venting about it, it's yeah. like you never had an intent because they weren't going to see it. Depends on like who you're talking to it about also. Like if you're in a friend group and you're talking about someone to other people in the friend group with like not the best intent and like it's just being bitchy, that's different.
Yeah.
I think to the person who asked, I think it depends on how you found out. Were you supposed to find out? Or did someone tell you? Did you go through something? Like, that's different.
Yeah.
But also, like, ask them and see what their response is. Because, like, their response can be very telling if you should be friends with them or not.
Yeah, Agree.
Okay, this was when we got a lot, and I feel like, I guess everyone just has this friend. One upper friendships, like a friend who can't be happy for you, they just have to like rain on your fucking parade and like make it about them.
You go. I don't know.
You never had a one upper friendship?
I have. I just I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think for a long time I used to accept those friendships because I'm just like, oh, like that's just like how life is. I feel like I grew up with a lot of one upper type friendships and I didn't really know anything different until I had a friend who was like, oh my god, like congratulations, that's so exciting, and it was left at that versus like, oh my god, well I did this. Yeah. And until I recognized the difference and I had a friend who wasn't a one upper, I don't think I recognized what it, how my previous friendships had been.
I don't even know. I mean, I feel like I've had more experience with not as much one uppers, but not happy for your success, jealous. I mean, one-upper friends are jealous at the end of the day. That's why they're same, one-upping you.
Same category, but there's differences to
but
it.
But, like, I don't know if I wouldn't have a friend, because sometimes it'd be like I had a friendship where they necessarily couldn't top what I was, if I had some great accomplishment, they weren't even able to top it because they really didn't have anything to say. So it would be like just trying to tear me down, and I would never understand that. Because I could, on the flip side, when they had something good happen to them, I was so happy for them. And I was, oh my God, that's amazing. And I would let them have that. So, and then when it came to me, I felt embarrassed to even share anything good that happened in my life because I knew that it wouldn't make them happy. And that's, you have to realize it's not a friend that you want to have, it's somebody that wouldn't be happy for your happiness.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think it's hard too because, like, for me, I always, like, want to see like, people's, like, best intentions, and I'll make excuses for them. But I'm, like, at the end of the day, like, if I don't feel good and they make me feel worse when I – if I go into it excited and I walk out feeling, like, less full, that's not a person I want in my life. And I feel like I forgot. Like, I didn't realize, or I didn't – wasn't aware, or like, I forgot. I don't know how to explain it. But as an adult, you get to choose who you're friends with. I feel like as a kid, like you're going to be friends with whoever your parents put you around, or like you don't really have as much of a say, or like it's not as easy to like walk away from a friendship. Like as an adult, like if I don't feel like good about this friendship, I can leave.
Yeah, I mean, especially obviously in high school, even if you have that thought, oh, I can leave. It's like you still go to school with them. You see them every day. You have to interact with them. So it's really hard. But yeah, as an adult, you don't really have to interact
yeah,
with them, probably.
I think the more freedom you have as you get older, you realize, oh, I actually don't have to deal with this, but I forgot about that because I was so used to just dealing with it because of my circumstances prior.
Yeah.
But surround yourself with people that make you feel good. Like, I was telling Hallie the other day, like, when you're on the phone, like, I've never had a friend who has been so, like, excited when things happen.
Yeah. I agree. I will say I still know we would both be like this either way, but it also does help to be in a similar position of life as your friend. It's not to say by any means that, oh, don't be friends with people who have less money than you or something. That's not what I'm saying at all, because at the end of the day, a person should still be able to be happy for you no matter what. But it definitely does make it hard. Or it makes it harder when there is room for jealousy, if that makes sense. I mean, there still is for us, too. I could be jealous of things that you get or the fact that you're in a relationship and didn't get broken up with. But I'm not. I still really am happy for you. And so, I don't know. But it does help to be in a similar position of life.
I would say it helps being in a similar position. But also, like, when people find things out and you're not in a similar position, like, it just takes effort to, like, make sure you're happy and giving a good response back.
And I think if you find yourself in a position where you're on the flip side, where you are like, I'm not really happy for my friend, you need to recognize that and walk out of their life. Because I've also had situations where I wasn't jealous and I was not one-upping them, but my friend would, when I was in a really low place in my life, my friend would get something. And I was like, I'm not really serving them by being their friend, because while this person was just completely rubbing shit in my face and like trying to make me feel bad, and it was on them as well, I was also like, I am having these feelings of jealousy, and I had to end a friendship for that reason, because I didn't, like, she always made me feel bad, and I don't think I was really serving her either, because I wasn't making her feel the best, because I wasn't necessarily that happy for some of her wins. And that's, you have to recognize that and walk out as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's also like how you're presenting your wins, if it's like conversation based, or like you're just trying to like or you're trying to rub it in, like, how is the person presenting it to you?
Yeah.
This is interesting, but what would you do if your boyfriend hated your friends? Like, the opposite.
Yeah. I think you have to recognize if your friends have been in your life for a long time and you know that they're good people and you've never had an issue with them, and then you get this significant other that comes into your life and almost tries to flip your view on that, your friends aren't the problem, he is.
I agree. Speaking of friends being in your life for a long time, what do you think about long-term friendships that are toxic? Like, do you think you should leave them?
Obviously.
No, but because I'm not, I mean, I agree with you, but like, we got a lot of questions saying like, oh, it's like hard because we've been friends for so long. Like, they were so good back then, but now they're this.
Yeah, people change. I think you can at least distance yourself. It may be, you don't have to completely end a friendship if you have had somebody in your life for such a long time. But if you recognize that they are toxic, I would at least create some space.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also think like, people are meant to be in your life for a season, not for a whole year.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like, not everybody's meant to be there forever, and that's so okay.
Yeah.
Because people grow and they evolve and they change. And like, you may have aligned at one point, you may not align anymore. And that's like super normal. Let's get into dating.
Okay. I have some things on this.
Okay, you want to start?
Sure. Well, I don't know your thoughts on this, let me know, but I was thinking about this and I've realized that a lot of situationships, dating, whatever I've had in my life, I have had things end very tumultuously. Is that, I can't speak that word, whatever.
I don't even know what that word is.
It's like poorly.
Why did you just say poorly?
Because I was trying to be like smart. I've had things end,
sorry,
kind of bad with a good amount of, even if I think that they're gonna end well and I did nothing wrong, they still sometimes end poorly. And I'm almost glad for that in a lot of ways, because I know myself and I would go back to a lot of bad situations in my life, like, because it was easy. If it obviously makes fucking sense, I was about to say it makes sense, sorry, I would obviously go back to a lot of situations. And so I am almost subconsciously grateful to have things end really poorly with people, friendships, exes, situationships, all of it, because it's like so bad that there's no reconciling that. And I can't try to dive back into some toxic situation that would still end up ending badly anyway.
I fully get what you're saying, because I feel like for me, I either end things on really good terms or really bad terms. There's no in between. And the things that I've ended on really good terms tend to really take a long time before they fully end on bad terms. Does that make sense?
Yes.
What's that word? Not word.
Drag on. Like, I
linger.
Linger. Yeah, that's the word.
Sorry, because I want people to clip something. Yeah. Sorry. I feel like I will let things linger longer than they deserve to linger because they end on good terms, and I'll go back to it, and then I'll just go back and forth forever, like, for no reason, because there wasn't a bad ending.
I agree. I'm glad when things don't end on good terms, because if I ended on great terms, I'd be like, oh, but we ended on good terms, so why can't we just get back together? Why can't we start this up again? Like, obviously, as much as my whole situation that I had in the past month fucking sucked, I still am not great about it. I am almost a little bit glad subconsciously, because I am like, there's no fixing that. There's no going back to that. And if we had just stayed on the good term ending, I truly would have probably once a month been like, hey, like reaching back out and just being toxic to myself.
I think things almost start off as toxic because they didn't end badly. Like, I feel like things ending good almost leads to a toxic situation down the line, because it should have ended at the beginning.
Agree.
We've dabbled on this before, but like, I'm curious about your perspective now on what do you think about if he wanted to, he would.
Like, yes, ultimately. Ultimately, if he wanted to, he would. If a guy really wants to be with you, he'll make the effort. He'll make the plans. Yeah, guys can be shy. Guys can be whatever. But it's like a guy's not leaving you undelivered for 5 days and then being like, sorry, he was asleep. If he really wanted to, that's a very clear sign. And I've always known that. And I've always felt that. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something else.
Like, what? But it's kind of like, I don't know.
I just didn't want to interrupt you.
No, that's it. That's what I'll say for now.
Okay.
What about you?
I feel like I've always been the one to be like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, you'll make the excuses.
Make excuses for men. And I'm not like taking back my stance from prior things, I guess. But like, I do think if he wanted to, he would to a certain extent. Once you give the communication, if you say what you need and then he doesn't do it, that's a choice. Like, if he wanted to, he would then. But like, if in some situations, some circumstances, if he doesn't know, of like, you haven't made it clear that I need this, and then you're just expecting him to read your mind and know, then like, maybe he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I think it's obviously there's levels to it.
Yeah, but... I'm just saying, I think that's where my stance before of being like, oh, I don't really know, was because like, I feel like if you don't communicate it, like, how would he know?
Yeah.
Like, but if you communicate something, then it's a choice not to do it after that.
This is my problem, though, because in the past, in more recent past, I have made a lot of excuses for people and been like ultimately known something they were doing was not good, but I would be like, oh, but this. And I feel like we give men so many excuses and we're, oh, he's immature, he's this. I cannot stand that. And it is so crazy that women are expected to be so just perfect all around, and it's like a guy does the bare fucking minimum and we're applauding him for it. And it really is insane that we let men, we're always like, oh, but he's an immature boy. I'm sorry, no, like, that's not how life works. I'm the same age as you. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, I think men get a lot more grace than women do.
So much grace. It's really crazy.
Because they've set the bar so fucking low that like, when someone goes above the bar or even at the bar, like, oh my God, win.
I know. A woman, it has to exceed the bar 15 times over and it's still kind of not good enough.
Yeah, no, I get it. What do you think about like a significant other following like Instagram models or like any kind of interesting accounts on Instagram or liking pictures?
I think I don't really give a fuck at the end of the day, but I do find it odd if I was dating somebody and they were following Summer Rae and 50 accounts like that and liking all the photos. It's just, what is the reason? If there's one girl that he's just obsessed with, because like for me, I love Pete Davidson. I don't think he has Instagram. But like, right, I would still like Pete Davidson's Instagram photos no matter if I was in a relationship or not. Because it's just a fucking whatever. But, and so if there was one person maybe and it was, he was liking her photos, I really don't know if I would give that much of a shit. But I think if it's just a bunch of Instagram models that are just posting in bikinis all the time, what's the reason? That's honestly just embarrassing for like the guy. It's giving desperate.
Yeah, no, I agree. My first thing is like, you look at Instagram normally like in public, I feel like you'll, so it's like if you're on the subway and like you're opening your Instagram and just a bunch of ass pics, why?
Yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand like the reasoning of why that's necessary. I was like, you don't have any chance with, you have zero chance with any of these girls. So, like, why? And I just think it's unnecessary.
Yeah, I think there's girls that I think take it too far with that. Where they're like, oh my God. And it's like, your boyfriend is great and loyal and amazing. And it's like, you see he liked one photo once.
I would never be bothered by like celebrities, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. If you're liking like people that you know's like pictures like that, like that have like you've been with in the past, I'd be bothered by that.
Yeah, I one time I was scrolling and I ended up seeing that my friend's boyfriend was liking this girl who they went to college with's photos. And I was just like, that's really weird. Like, she's in a bikini every time. And she looks amazing. Like, pop the fuck off, sis. But
let me clarify. I don't mean regular pictures. I mean when someone is consistently liking, like, bikini photos from someone they've been with in the past, just to clarify.
Yeah. And I was just like, this is really weird, but I don't know. It's circumstantial, it is, and I don't think it's the end of the world, but I also think there's levels to it.
I think there's no reason to do it, but if they do, like, whatever, I guess. My thing is, if you bring it up and say that it bothers you and they try to gaslight you, be like, well, I'll just delete Instagram or some bullshit like that. That's a red flag. Get rid of them.
Yeah, agree.
I feel like that's, like, I always see videos about that, like, well, it's just Instagram. I'll just delete the whole app. Okay, there's some deeper shit there, and, like, that's probably not it.
Yeah, like, literally. What do you think about no contact? That's my entire For You page right now, and I'm like, I don't know.
I think that if you do no contact, there was a reason you needed to take it that far. To agree to do no contact, like, if you'd be like, we are not talking. There is a reason you had to not talk.
I think it's almost odd to establish we are doing no contact. I think you both have to acknowledge that it's toxic in order to get to that point, because that was the number one question I got when I first announced my breakup was, are you doing no contact? And I was like, that's not even something we discussed. It's not like I was like, do not contact me and I will not contact you. I think it was just a given, like... And it's like, and people were like, oh, are you guys doing no contact? I'm like, he is. I didn't want to, but I don't know. I think it's, it's not something I think in most situations you necessarily need to establish. I think it's just kind of a given.
Yeah, I agree that it's given. I'm saying if you have to go as far to make it a thing, that's probably a red flag in itself that you should probably never speak again.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like, I always see people making videos, like, or in our, even, like, in our group, me being like, I broke no contact. And I'm like, at that point, block the fucking number. Don't ever see them ever again.
Yeah, agree.
Because, like, it goes back to, like, if you end on good terms, it's going to end really bad. So if you are ending on, like, no contact, like, it's probably only going to get worse.
Yeah, agree.
I'm also like, why do you want to talk to people that, like, you had to go to no contact with? I get why. Let me clarify. I get why, but that why is toxic.
No, I was only...
To clarify. Not with you. I'm saying in general.
I know, but I want to clear up. I was just obviously, like, blindsided by my breakup. And so then it was just... imagine going from one day being perfectly fine to the next never speaking again. That was a hard adjustment for me. So in the first week, I did just want to reach out and whatever, obviously. Now we are for sure no contact and we'll never speak again. But it wasn't something we established. It was just a given.
Yeah. A lot of people had dropped some questions saying, how do I make this guy like me, or how to make a guy like me? I don't think you can make anybody like you. No. You can make me like anybody.
I see those videos. I have to just scroll past. I'm like, shut the fuck up on my For You page all the time. It's like, here's what you can do to make a guy. No, that's not. None of these games, none of these anything are true. It's so ridiculous to me that people have whole, like, profiles. Just every video is like, top three things to say to a guy to make him fall in love with you. And you're like, literally shut the fuck up. There's nothing you could say to make someone fall in love with you or not fall in love with you. It's going to happen.
Or it's not.
Just naturally.
I think there's no, like, as much as, like, we're obviously, we're not, let me be clear. We're not giving advice in this episode. We are sharing our opinions based off what you guys asked for. Just our thoughts, not saying it's right or wrong, just opinions.
Yeah.
But I think there are zero rules to dating.
No, zero.
Whatever works for two people will work for two people. Like, whatever works for me would not work for you. And, like, so on and so forth. Like, you just gotta, whatever's meant to be will be.
Yeah, I think you see a lot of these kind of just typical things people do in dating and that everyone kind of conforms to, and then you feel like you have to do that, and sometimes maybe that's not going to work for you, and then you feel like you're off track on this imaginary relationship timeline, and that's honestly the biggest mind fuck, because I let that play into my relationship as well. And it's none of that shit is real. None of that shit matters. You can't make somebody like you. There's no magic thing you can text him to make him jealous or whatever. That's all fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think, like, for example, like, I love to FaceTime. I have FaceTimed plenty of guys that I've dated or talked to, and some of them stopped talking to me after, which, guess what? They didn't like me that much or wouldn't have mattered. I had met Kevin one time before I FaceTimed him, probably 30 times when I was drinking, and like he said in the episode that we did with him, he was like, I thought it was sweet that you thought of me when you were drinking.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, I wasn't willing to change that for anyone I dated, whether it was, like, and, you know, all the rules were like, don't do that. Well, it's who I am, so whoever I'm with is going to have to be okay with it.
Agree. It's also like, okay, let's say you can put on this fucking facade and trick a guy into liking you. What? Are you going to do that your entire life? He's going to see the real you at some point. Might as well show it to him early on so you can avoid a whole fucking heartbreak.
And then not just that, but like, it's going to give you anxiety, like, remembering, like, who you're supposed to try to be, or, like, following these rules. Then, like, oh, I don't want to let this part of me out. But that's who you fucking are. You don't want to be with someone who doesn't like who you are.
I think also it's easy for us to say, because I'm not trying to be like, we're the realest bitches ever, but we can't be fake if we try. No. I'm just so
authentic. If I want to text you, I will text you. If I want to call you, I will call you. Drinking involved or not, doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever I want to do because it's who I am.
Yeah. I think we're both just so, unfortunately, authentically ourselves sometimes, where it's...
And I want to be clear, I wasn't always my authentic self, but like whenever I wasn't, I felt even worse than when I just wasn't. When I was myself and was rejected, I was like, whatever, like, at least they saw me and it wasn't good, it didn't work, whatever. When I wasn't authentically myself and it didn't work out, I was like, well, wait, maybe if I was like actually this, it made me more stressed and more anxious. Like, I was never like that when I was actually being who I was.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that also ties into the other question that we got about mixed signals and like how to not be confused. If you're confused,
yeah,
if you feel like shit or anxious or like whatever, it's probably not it. And you may not want to admit that. And I've had times where I haven't wanted to admit that. And then you get out of it, you're like, oh, damn, like that actually was so not it.
Yeah, I think I've always been pretty clear on mixed signals, meaning no. I like Serena Kerrigan always says, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a fuck no. And I really have had that mindset my whole life. I have. I will say, when there becomes levels of manipulation and gaslighting and feeding your delusions and whatever on a man's part, then it can become hard, because you, even though maybe you see it for what it is, he's like, no, it's not. And then it gets confusing. But I will say, like, especially at the beginning of dating, I very much take it, like, if you're not consistently following up with me, if you're not consistently asking to see me, I know, okay, it's not going anywhere. And I don't even care to put in effort, because I truly don't have the capacity in my brain for something that I have to fight for and that's toxic and all of that.
Yeah. I don't like to not feel good. And if it's not making me feel good, like, I might do it to, like, for a little bit, but, like, I'll recognize, like, when I've had enough. I think it just goes back to, like, being self-aware. Which actually, what you just said ties into, like, us, like, being authentically ourselves. We got a lot of questions about how to be confident.
Yeah, I get that all the time. And I don't know even how to put it, because I just have never given a fuck. Honestly, maybe it sounds bad, I've always viewed myself as, like, above a lot of people. And it's, so it's like, I just never cared. I'm like, why would I care? Like, when I was in high school, I was like, I know that I'm going to go off to New York City and do all of these things. And it's, that doesn't mean I'm above people. I want to make that very clear, because that sounded really bad, what I said. But it's like, I was like, I know this is what I want to do. I know I want to go into fashion. So why would I sit here and let people who are wearing their Lululemon every day, which absolutely nothing wrong, I love Lululemon, but it's like, why would I let them have like a say on what I want to wear? And honestly, I should have, because my outfits were really fucking fugly. But I just never gave a fuck. I was just like, I don't care. Why? It's like, why would a lion concern himself with the opinions of sheep? That's like, honestly, a level of confidence that I had where sometimes I should have taken it down a notch, for sure. And I've been humbled severely throughout my life to do so. But I just want to clarify, though, because I feel like that made me sound really cocky. There's definitely a difference between cocky and confident. But I don't know. I've just never really cared. I've again been humbled throughout my life. I started very, very way up here where I did think I was probably better than people. I've now brought it back to a level of self-awareness where I'm like, yeah, I'm not better than anybody. But, and especially, which is funny because I'm at a point in my life where almost I feel like you could view me with a million followers as thinking I'm better than people, but I actually really don't at all. I'm a normal fucking person. And I don't know. Now I can kind of see life for what it is, if that makes sense. But I don't know. I don't care for the most part. I care more now than I ever have when you have millions of people commenting on your life. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like you've always been a very, very confident person. And I feel like people, like, I feel like, sorry. I feel like you've always been very confident. But I don't feel like it's like before I met you, I was like, oh, like this is like a internet thing. I'm like, nope, she's actually just like this, which is great. Cause I think for me, I have not been like that. I'm confident in certain things, but overall I wouldn't say my confidence was very high. And I think, not to gas you up, but surrounding yourself with people who are confident and not insecure helps you not be as insecure. I think a lot of the areas where I lacked confidence prior in life, a lot of it had to do with people I was surrounding myself with who put their insecurities onto me or didn't make me feel good about myself. Or like, it was like one-uppers, people who would like not get excited for me, or they would like low-key shit on me because like they had their own shit. And I think that I made a lot of excuses for like them doing it because I was like, oh, I get why they're being like that, but that doesn't make it okay. So when I started having friends and people in my life who were confident and liked themselves and also liked me and weren't assholes, I felt more confident.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and I completely agree with that because I have, again, like I feel like I'm my most confident self now, but it's the pause of silence where I'm like, oh god, like wait, like what was I gonna say?
I will also say people probably question their confidence because I have a lot of plastic surgery. I obviously have a lot done, but that didn't necessarily help with like my confidence overall. I'm just like happier because I wanted these things. Like, yeah. Do I feel more confident with certain, like having my arms out, for example, because I didn't like my arms before, but I'm not saying like plastic surgery is like the answer to things. That's just like what I wanted to do. But I didn't get most of my plastic surgery done until I had fixed my internal insecurities. I had a lot of like baggage and like serious insecurities from like my daddy issues, my mommy issues, like my life issues. And until I worked through them in therapy, I didn't like anything.
Yeah.
And I feel like once I worked through that shit, I felt more confident and it made me like want to adjust other things also. But like my biggest insecurities stemmed from people I was surrounding myself with, my undealt with issues. And that's basically that.
Yeah. I feel like I have always been cripplingly self-aware, now more so than ever. And I think going off of like looks confidence, which it's actually funny because I have just never, ever gotten confidence through the way I looked. And I'm not like coming at you being like, oh, like, I don't mean it like that because I was actually, there's a point in my life I was extremely fugly. Yeah, I was still had confidence 10 out of 10 when it's like, girl, you didn't even, yeah, you shouldn't.
I'm not saying it's like for the looks. Those were add-on benefits.
No,
to,
I know.
To be clear.
I know.
I know you know. I just want to clarify for, like, for the audience.
Yeah, but it's funny because like I look the best I've ever looked in my entire life now. And I still am like it almost made me more confident because I realized that no matter how you look, it's stupid because people say this and you're like, shut the fuck up. Like, obviously I want to be pretty, but the way you look is the least interesting thing about you. You can be a 10 out of 10 looks, but if you have a shit personality, that's like, honestly, I would seriously rather be fugly and be funny and have my same brain than like be pretty and be a fucking idiot, bitch, cunt. Sorry,
I was saying that seriously
a little too far, but it really is like, I don't know. It really doesn't bother me.
I don't ever get offended by looks comments. those never bother me. I get the most stressed and upset and hurt by comments about me as a person, like whether it comes to like work ethic or like me being nice or whatever it is, like those make me so fucking upset. Cause like, even though like I am confident in those things, like it's never like, you can call me, I don't give a fuck. It's not cause like I think I'm super pretty. It's just like, I don't care. Like, it's not important to me. I just hate the internal stuff.
Yeah. I think to a certain, if it's something that I just feel so secure in, I really don't care, unless it was overwhelming. Like if somebody comments, you're not funny, I'm like, I think I'm funny, so I don't give a fuck. If I was receiving a Matt Rife level backlash on something, I would obviously feel differently. And maybe I would start to question that. Cause at that point it's like, is it true? But yeah, I don't really care if somebody calls me ugly.
For me, it's not even a questioning thing, but like, I'm just like, cause like, I know I'm nice to people. Yeah. Like, I know I'm a good friend. Like those don't think like, but those, that's why I'm like, I'm not insecure about that. Like, I know, like, I know these things and I'm secure in it, but like, those are the most bothersome things.
It's hard. Obviously, I don't know how relatable this is to a lot of you listening to this, because obviously most of you probably don't do social media, but it is frustrating when people can just put things out there that are not true. And then people just take this random comment as fact and then run with it. And it is just, it's so fucking annoying, because I have the biggest issue with, that's like something I get almost insecure about, is I'm like, I need to clear this up. Why the fuck is somebody saying this? And sometimes you do just have to be a bigger person and just let it go and allow people to say things that,
things
like,
that aren't true,
or just false narratives. Like, yeah. And it is just fucking annoying when, you know, someone that you've never even met is commenting on your video, like, I know her and she's a bit. And you're like, that's simply like just the furthest thing from the fucking truth. I don't know. But back to confidence for you.
Also, this is like kind of unrelated, but like, I feel like a lot of like my confidence before, like with like going out or like even just being in like before like social media, whatever, like a lot of my confidence, I feel like I tried to like replicate things that my friends did. Like, whether it was, like, clothing or, like, a trait or whatever, I'm like, that doesn't look good on me. And does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd, like, see someone, like, an outfit, and I'm like, oh, like, that, they looked good in that, and I saw that worked well for them, I should try that. I was like, I don't look good in that outfit at all. That's not for me.
Yeah.
So I feel like figuring out who, like, just, like, more, like, me and, like, stuff, like, made me feel more confident.
Yeah. Like, who you are and being your authentic
self.
Yeah,
but, like, also, like, outfit-wise, like, I would be, like, oh, like, I don't feel good in this outfit like I thought I would. It's like, that wasn't the outfit for me. Like, I need to figure out what works for me.
Yeah.
Like, what I felt good in. Like, also, like, you feel good at a bar when, like, you're the only person, like, who's, like, dressed up and, like, you're looking cunty. I feel good at a bar when I blend in and look basic as fuck. So it's like, I would never be able to feel confident trying to replicate how you go out when I need to be, like, in a long sleeve shirt and some baggy jeans and some sneakers to feel good.
Agree. I think that's going back to being your authentic self. Yeah. That is your authentic self. My authentic self has literally always been being fucking extra. I like being the loudest person. I like being the boldest person. I like dressing kind of fucking crazy. That's why I did that in high school. And I never cared, because it was my authentic self and I was just being me. And I've always thought, like, truly, embarrassment is a social construct that I just simply don't subscribe to most of the time. I've, again, been humbled throughout my life, and now sometimes I am like, that was fucking embarrassing. But I really am able to just compartmentalize situations that happen and be like, okay, yeah, I can recognize that was an embarrassing thing that I did, but I'm not going to let it overtake my life. I really don't care. And it's, I don't know, that also, like, it's hard, but it's easy to rationalize that when you are very mentally stable. I have to say that, because, like, there's irrational things that you just can't get over. Like, that's what anxiety is, right? Like, there's times when I am so anxious and embarrassed about something that I did when I didn't even do anything wrong. And, like, I was just, like, having anxiety. And so, I don't know.
Yeah, but confidence, I swear, it's just, like, self-awareness, I think, is the biggest thing. And, like, learning and adjusting, like, about, like, being exactly who you are and surrounding yourself with good people. I feel like you're never not confident when you're around people who make you feel good and, like, uplift you. But also, I will say, when I say surround yourself with people who make you feel confident, I'm not saying rely on them to make you feel confident. Like, you shouldn't get, like, be like, oh, I look horrible in this, and, like, make them, like, be like, oh, you look great, and feel good that way and confident. I'm saying just be around people who are like being authentic that make you feel good.
Yeah, you don't need external validation to get to feel confident to like wear an outfit or be.
Yes, like you choose. It's all of, it's a you thing.
Yeah, it's internal. Kind of random switching topics from confidence to periods, but I wanted to ask you, like, when did you get your period and what happened, like your first period? Do you remember?
Yes. I believe I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty sure.
But so pretty old.
Yeah. I think because I did, like, cheer and stuff, I was just, like, stunted or something. I don't know. I think it was a sophomore, though. And I was like, oh, my God, this is the – I think I was at school. Mm-hmm. So, nope, I lied. Rewind. I was a sophomore in high school. I was at home when it happened. Best place to be. Thank fucking God. But no one was home. I just, like, went upstairs. Like, I got my mom's tampons. Put it in. Like, I literally read the instructions. I was like, okay, sweet. Up there, no problem, no issue. Then it was, like, time to take it out. I was like, oh, my God, I cannot get this out of me. It is stuck. I was fucking freaking out. No one's home. I, like, didn't tell my mom I started my period. And, like, no one, like, and none of my friends, I just didn't want to be like, guys, I can't get it out of me. Yeah. Now I would so say that. But, like, back then, I just wasn't like that. And I could not for the life of me get it out. I'm laying on my bathroom floor fucking bawling my eyes out. Like, I have a mirror down there. I'm trying to get it out and it will not come out. But I was like, I didn't want to, like, break. I was like, so.
Did you have, like, was the string poking out?
Yes, yes.
You just couldn't get it.
I just couldn't pull
it. You were pulling it and it wouldn't come out?
Yeah. And eventually I got it out and then it was like smooth sailing for there.
Okay. But
it was a stressful time for myself.
That's so funny. I had kind of a similar situation. I was a like a junior in high school. I was really old. All of my friends had their period and I remember like my friends were fucking, like they were having sex and they're like, you need to get on the sex wave, like you can't even get pregnant, girl. Like it was like that. I was like, I'm not horny, I've never even had a period, like the fuck. Anyway, I remember I had a lifeguard certification class the next day, and so I got my period like the night before I had to go to this lifeguard certification class. And obviously when you're swimming and everything, you have to put a tampon in, you do not have an option for a pad. And yeah. I'm actually glad for that because I probably would have pussied around for a while and been like, I need to use a pad. I hate pads, I think they're disgusting. Like
if that's your game, if that's, so be
absolutely
it.
If that's what works for you,
to each their own.
Yeah, it's just for me, absolutely not. And so I'm glad that it made me have to do it, but I literally got the period and I was like, I have to go to this lifeguard certification class. You cannot wear a pad. So I had to just shove a tampon inside of me and I did it. And I was like freaking the fuck out. I was like the lightest period of my entire life. I was like, I'm bleeding through. Every 2 seconds I'm switching the fucking tampon. And it was like, it was the driest thing ever because there was a drop of blood on it every time because it was such a light period.
I swear that your first period anxiety of thinking like you're leaking through or like bleeding through something is so real and you don't know what this is, but I swear it, this was stressful for me because the movie, it's called The Click, it was also books, you've never seen it, but
The Clit.
Sorry, I'm taking speech classes, okay. There was a movie called The Click, and this girl Claire is wearing white pants and they put like red paint on her, mm-hmm. like in high school, and everyone made fun of her. It was a whole thing. It's like, if you know the movie, you know. Anyways, but I swear, like, when you first start your period, you're like, I'm leaking through. You're not fucking leaking through.
Yeah.
You might be at some point, but you're probably not. And I feel like every day for like the first 10 periods I have, I was like, I'm leaking through. This is embarrassing.
And
horrible.
Never were.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. 100%. Also, have one more thing to say about periods. Well, tampons specifically, because you just saying that reminded me of the time that I had sex with a tampon in. It was the worst experience of, well, basically I got really, really drunk one night. This was obviously years later. I was not inexperienced to putting a tampon in. Like I knew how to use them. But I got really drunk one night, and I used to have really, before I got my IUD, like really heavy period. So I would need to put a super plus tampon in there. And it was like, I would make it maybe an hour and I'd bleed through it. And so I lost track of my night. I kind of blacked out. I didn't remember if I had a tampon in or what. So I wake up the next morning and I'm like, I have no idea if I have a tampon in or not. So I'm kind of like feeling around up there and I'm like, I must have taken it out. Like I cannot find the tampon. So I'm like, I'm good. I put another tampon up there. Like, cool. And then I just keep thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, I just don't think, I couldn't even form words. I was so drunk. I don't think I was pulling a tampon out of me. Like, there's just no way. I have to have a tampon inside of me. I'm like fingering myself, fishing around, trying to find this tampon. Cannot find it. It doesn't exist. So I'm like, all right, I go like 3 full days with this tampon inside of me, obviously having no idea. And finally, I'm just like, something is not right. Like, my gut was just telling me everything seemed normal. Like, there was no signs. I didn't feel anything, nothing. Okay. Except I was just like, it just, my gut was telling me, like, I'm telling you, my brain was like, Hallie, like, there's no way you took a tampon out. Like, there's just no way you did it. So finally, like, I am telling you, like, I had my whole fist on my vagina. Like, I was like, whatever. I also, did I mention that I had sex with it in?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so, like,
it was up there.
It had gotten, obviously, like, compacted up there. Like, I can't even imagine. I must have been so drunk, the fact that that wasn't painful to me. Like, what the fuck? Anyway. And so I, like, finally, I'm telling you, like, I finally, like, I feel it. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. It was, like, I can feel it still inside of me, like, that feeling. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, my God. I, like, can't, I'm, like, clawing it out. I finally get it out. It was, like, it looked black, like an animal. Like, it was, like, disgusting. Oh, my God. That was, ugh. And I was just like, damn. Like, I also wanted to know. Like, I never talked to the guy that I had sex with again. But I was like, did he not, like, maybe he was really drunk too, but I'm like, that could not have felt good for you. You were like slamming up against that, like, ugh. Yeah, horrible experience. It's so scary. Like,
that also happened to me once.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This also happened to me once years ago after after drinking. I had a similar situation. I also had sex with a tampon in. I woke up the next day, I'm like, oh, like, I was like, oh, I'm like still kind of bleeding a little bit, but not a lot. I'm like, oh, I must have taken it out. Like, I'm just like, no one up there. I did not feel good. I had like a fever. Like, I think I was literally going,
you're like getting the beginning of toxic.
Yes, fully. I'm like, something is not right. Like, I'm like sweating. I'm like, I have a headache. It's like the day and a half later. I'm like, I'm not good. And like, my blood is like black because like that blood up there. It was also like the end of my period too. But I bleed heavy.
Yeah,
this is before I got my IUD. I bleed very, very heavy. Like, I go through a super plus every 45 minutes. I'm not kidding.
That was me too.
I had to get a special pass in high school to go to the bathroom because I was bleeding so often. That's why eventually I got birth control. It was like a whole thing. Anyways, I bleed. Okay, I'm like, and I in the first day I dug, couldn't find it. I'm like, oh, whatever. Next day I also dug. I'm like, I'm also like, I finally, the string like must have like got, the string was definitely like not down anymore. I had to like grab the actual tampon.
No, it's like breech. Like, yeah, it's like a breech, baby. That's what mine was. Like, the string was upside down.
It was like to the side. Yeah. Maybe that's why I have a crooked cervix. I'm so serious. Maybe that is why. Anyways, I pull it out. I'm like, and I kid you, within 30 minutes, my temperature was back to normal. I was fine. I was like, holy fuck, I almost just died.
Yeah, no,
death by tampon. Oh my god, so embarrassing. One, that's
embarrassing. Lie on my name. If I die from that, like, do not fucking say that. Two, I is, that's the thing I'm most grateful for with the IUD, that I don't like bleed like that, because that is the most dangerous fucking game to play, is putting a tampon in before going out and blacking out, because I can't believe that didn't happen more often, honestly.
Yeah,
like, honestly, because that's like, you don't want to put a pad in, obviously, like, before you go out. That sounds literally miserable. You're trying to look hot, and like, you don't want like your tight ass pants to be showing your pad lines. But at the end of the day, like, that's so dangerous to put a tampon in. I actually can't believe it didn't happen more often.
Yeah, no, that was such a bad experience for me. I was like, I literally like almost lost, like, I'm not kidding, I almost went to the hospital because I was just dripping in sweat and like at the worst fever. Like, I was literally dying.
Oh my god.
Slowly dying. Speaking of periods, birth control. So when did you first get into birth control?
I didn't until I was quite old. I was probably, it was literally right before I decided, like, I am going to lose my virginity. And so I was probably 19. I was like old. And I went on 4 different birth control pills over the course of like 2 years. And every single one was horrible. When I tell you, I have never had worse body image in my life. I swelled up like a balloon. Like, I would constantly be stepping on a scale. And it did actually make me gain some weight. I probably gained like, and that was also a crazy thing to me because my whole life I'd just been the same weight. It was very always consistent. So then to just get on a pill and be like 10 pounds heavier when I changed nothing about my habits, other than, I don't know if this happened to you, but I was way hungrier on my birth control pill. Like, I did find myself eating and snacking a lot more, but anyway, I gained like 10 pounds. It was just also, even though it wasn't even 10 pounds, wasn't that much, it was the fact that I was so bloated all the time. I literally just had horrible body image on every single birth control pill I tried. Some would make me bleed every single day for a month at a time. I had depression. I had everything in the book, like every bad symptom you could have. And so I finally was like, I don't give a fuck. I'll go celibate before I get on another pill, because I tried 4. And then I got the IUD. What about you?
So I originally got on birth control, like, I think at like 16. Yeah, 16, because my periods were so bad. I literally had to like get a special pass to go to the bathroom because I was bleeding so heavily. Like, I'm not kidding. Every 45 minutes, super plus. No matter what brand I used, it was horrible.
I had that too for a period of time, like 45 minutes and I was bleeding through, but I didn't get on birth control for that. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's why I got on it. So I originally went to get on it for that reason, and I tried to take the pill. I literally had never been more suicidal in my life. Like, they were like, and my mom and my grandma both can't take it either. Like, we're allergic to something in it.
Yeah.
Like, I like literally tried to kill myself. I'm not kidding. Like, it was really, really bad. I was on it for like maybe a couple of weeks, and it was like already like affecting me horribly, whatever. So I was like, nope, not going to take that. And then I got an IUD, and it like evened my periods. It was like great. But then I was on it from the time I was 16 until I was like 21. And I was like, no. Sorry, I lied. I was on it for like whatever the time period was where you needed it to get changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what that was. Got it taken out. I obviously have pretty great skin. I had this nickel-sized cysts all over my face.
When you took it out?
Within a week of getting it removed. And I was like, nope. And I got off because I was like, I've been on it for so long. And I had been really suicidal. So I was like, even with the IUD. So I was like, maybe that's why I'm suicidal. Maybe it's not my life. Maybe it's the birth control. So I was like, I'll just get off of it. No, I was like, I'm willing to want to die because like this act makes me want to die. So I got back on it. Then I was back on it. Within a week, cyst gone. I was like, okay, great. I'm going to stay on this actually. Yeah. And I just got on a different depression medication and I kind of evened out and I was fine. And I was on it for a few more years. And then I moved to Colorado and it was like during COVID and I wasn't having sex. I was like, you know, maybe this is why I'm depressed again. And I wasn't, but it was actually because it was COVID. Basically, that's why I was depressed. But I got taken out. I was like, I'll just take a break. I was in my celibacy era. And anyway, got out of it. I got off of it. And I was off of it up until this year.
And then you got it. Yeah.
And did not help my depression at all, not being on it. Like, it didn't help anything. But I didn't have the cysts anymore. So I think the cysts might have just been like a...
Could have been just so weird.
Might have been also like an age thing. I was a lot younger then. But I got on my IUD this year. And I obviously that was a whole thing to get on, but I'm happy with it. My periods are like gone again, so that's great.
Yeah, I can't. I think the IUD gets so much like negative
press,
which I'm not a doctor. I personally believe the IUD is 110% the best birth control pill or the best form of birth control. Every person I know on the pill, like, it just completely normalizes the most horrible things. And you're like, because I think a lot of girls just get shoved on it when they're 15 and they just completely normalize themselves to these negative side effects. And then they think it's just like, well, I just have to deal with this. And then you realize when you get off of it, no, you don't. And I love my IUD. I don't think I have a singular side effect from it. I am essentially, and people are like, you're not actually infertile. I fucking know, obviously. But for the most part, it's like, I think it's the most effective form of birth control. It's like 99.9.
Yeah, look it up. I don't know. But like, I tried a lot of shit. It's what works for me. Talk to your doctor, obviously.
Yeah.
But like, try, if one thing doesn't work, try something else.
I think it's just gets a lot of negative, people talk negatively about it because it's painful to get in, which not downplaying that. But I will say, like, mine's 7 years. Is yours 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we have the same one. It's 7 years of no periods personally think the pain is worth 7 years of, I mean, if I was planning on getting off the IUD in like a year, I wouldn't maybe do it. But I think that, like, for me, I don't plan on having a baby anytime soon. So I'm happy with my investment. I've been on it for like 2.5 years, maybe. I was put to sleep during mine. You were too, after a whole fucking fight. You can explain that.
Yeah, I was supposed to. I got it done. I went to get it done one day, and Hallie came with me, and they were like, and I had two previously. So I was like, oh, no problem. They tried for the longest time, and there's pictures and videos of me like miserable. And I have the highest pain tolerance. I swear to fucking God, I have a great pain tolerance. Boobs, no problem. Nose, no problem. Lipo, no problem. Nothing is a problem. I can handle shit. I was so physically unwell. They tried for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And she's in the room like, I'm just miserable. It was horrible.
I felt pain and I wasn't experiencing it. I was like, oh, like, I was cringing.
Dripping tears, sweating. It was horrible. This male doctor invalidated the fuck out of me. Eventually, I got put to sleep. He put it in. He was like, oh, you actually were so right. There's no way we could have got that in. You have a crooked cervix.
I will say, like, I think that you should just always be put to sleep for it. I don't think
fully agree.
They take some like metal clamp and clamp your uterus, which it's like grabbing. Ugh, it's like, it's disgusting what they actually do. If you get put to sleep, it's really not bad at all. You'll wake up with a little bit of cramps and it sucks for maybe an hour or two. It doesn't feel good. It feels like a pretty heavy, severe period.
What? I will say the first time I got my IUD in high school, I was awake. They put it in. I felt like a pinch. I was literally so fine. I'm so okay. Serious. I drove to work. I worked at Nordstrom at the time. I passed out at work because of the IUD.
Yeah.
Like the pain hit me like an hour and a half later.
It does hurt. Like it was like I was woken up immediately after. Like they literally placed it and took me off and woke me up. So I was like awake immediately after. I just didn't feel that pinch. So I'm grateful for that. But it was like the most horrible period you've ever had, probably, like cramps wise. And I just felt like pretty nauseous. But then I literally, like 2 hours later, I just sat there like being like, this fucking sucks. And then it was a Saturday night. All my friends were going out to the bar and I was like, I'm not missing out because I got this fucking IUD. And so I literally went and started just taking shots and I numbed all the pain. So I don't even know if it actually hurt for the rest of the night. But then I was completely fine. I woke up the next day. I was like, great. And then like 3 or 4 days later, like I literally had to have zero pain. I just woke up in the middle of the night with the most excruciating cramps just randomly for like 3 hours. I just laid there like being like, I'm going to die. And then it just went away and I've never had another pain since.
Yeah, I've been fine since this new one, but like getting it in was a really hard situation for me.
Yeah, it's well, because you have a crooked cervix, right? That's why I couldn't. Yeah. Either way, I just think like it takes 2 seconds to put you under for like the 5 minutes.
Oh, I fully agree that insurance should like cover you getting put under for an IUD.
At a lot of places, it does. You can find places.
No, because I mean, there's only two places in New York City that will put you under for it.
Well, yeah, but the place we go to does do it.
Yeah, but the thing is, I wanted to get it in like before I went to Europe this one time, and I had called around to almost every like 20 plus like OBs or whatever they're fucking called here, and only two of them in the city will put you under for it. And a lot of other states are like that. Even that's with or without insurance.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say there's a lot of places because there's not. I just mean there are places if you do search, you can and you really want one. There are places that you can find to get you to go under, but. But
like, I think it should be a thing in general that you should just get to go under for it.
If a man had to get a fucking IUD.
If one man had to do it, it'd be a rule immediately.
100%.
They fucking pay you to do it at that point. Fuck. God.
It also, I just have to say, it is really crazy, like, not to be all like a fucking feminist on here, but it is crazy that men don't have to take birth control and women do, because it really is a woman can only get pregnant one time every 9 months. Maybe a man can impregnate a woman like 10 women in one weekend. Like they're just having sex, you know. It is like, why do men not have to just do it? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I know, I don't get it either. It's fucking stupid. Let's move into shower routines, everything shower routines. Oh, you want to be the start? I don't know. You're staring at me.
You go.
I was asking you.
Do you have an everything shower routine?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
What is it?
I use Athena Club razors. I think they're the best fucking razors that I like. Seriously, stand by that. I've used a lot of fucking razors in my life, and they're literally the best razors. I obviously have fucking black hair, and I'm black, so I have like more coarse hair. Best fucking razors. The smoothest shave I've ever gotten was from an Athena Club razor, and this is not sponsored, but like, please send me some. But like, they're fantastic. I like also love their shaving cream. And I also love the First Aid Beauty, like, ingrown hair little pads. Those are great. What else is part of my everything shower? I'm just talking, like, shaving-wise, I guess, because that's what the questions were, like, in everything shower. But I have a lot of hair masks I love, too.
Okay. What are they?
I love the, is it Vegamore?
Yeah.
Vegamore hair masks, Moroccan oil hair masks. The, I don't know how to say it, the, it's like the... Brioche?
Yeah. Was Brioche. That? Briogeo or whatever.
I don't know. But that stuff, they have a great scalp conditioner. That scalp, what's it called?
Not shampoo?
Like a scalp. Fuck.
Scalp exfoliating shampoo?
A scalp detox shampoo. Okay. Yes. And I love that. And then there's.
It's the way you're naming all these things. And I'm like, oh, I have that. I have that. I have that. It's because we got sent all of those in PR. And I know we just have the same thing.
Yeah, but they're fantastic.
But they are great. I like all
of
those.
And then I also love, my favorite hair mask of all time is the Money Mask from Color Wow. It's so good. I paid for that, unfortunately. Okay. It's expensive. But it's great. It's fantastic. And then what else is part of my shower?
How? Wait, oh, go
ahead.
No, I was going to say, how often do you shave? Like, how often do you do this everything shower?
I rarely shave my legs, to be quite honest. I mean, I feel like I used to summer all the time because I'm like wearing shorts and skirts and stuff. Winter, I'm wearing tights. I don't really be shaving my legs that much. And I feel like I would if I was like going to the bar and I had the potential to like meet someone. But like now that I'm dating Kevin, like those legs are rarely shaved. I shave like my vagina constantly.
Okay.
But like not my legs.
Okay.
I also nair my arms. If you guys have hairy arms, I have very hairy arms. Like it's like dark hair, and I personally don't like having hair on my arms. So I nair my arms with men's nair, and it is the best. The women's nair doesn't do it for me. The men's nair is easy peasy on my arms.
Okay. I feel like I don't have much to contribute to this. This sounds like the most pick me shit of life,
but it's her truth. It really is.
It is. I have like, obviously I'm naturally blonde. I dye my hair blonder before you're like, that's not your real color, obviously, but I am naturally blonde. So all my body hair is blonde. Like I have arm hair. I never shave it or anything. It's just completely clear. So it doesn't, like, I don't ever think about it. And then for my legs, I do shave every time I get in the shower, but it's like, because I would rather, I hate when you like, I can't even think of, it's been probably 6 years since I haven't like shaved consistently, but it's like, I would hate in high school. I feel like I would like not shave for a long time. And then having to sit there and get every fucking hair. So annoying to me. I would rather get in the shower and I will do a 2 second, like up and down of my legs every single time and just keep it maintained. So it's like, even if I'm missing, like, whatever, it's like, I'll get it tomorrow. It'll be fine. Because I just, like, am always doing a quick shave all over my legs. But it's also super easy for me to just take my hair off. Like, because it's just, like, it's not coarse. You know what I'm saying? It's very thin and, like, light. And I shave, like, my vagina and everything, too. Like, again, every time I get in the shower, just whatever. I don't struggle with ingrown hairs. I've gotten, like, I was thinking about this. I don't know if this is relatable, but I like have never gotten an ingrown hair in my life. And then I was hooking up with this guy and I was like shaving all the time for the first time, like a lot. I was like shaving all the time. And I'm like, one day I just like am like going to shave and I'm like, there was like the most gigantic cyst, like a fucking
cyst.
This
is a thing. This is a thing. This is actually so crazy. You're saying this. I have a story. You go.
Okay. This is so gross. I can't believe I'm saying this on the internet. But I was like, I was visiting my friend in another state and I like am in her shower and I noticed, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was huge. It was like the size of a fucking penny, like, or a pea, I guess you could say. It was huge. And I am like, I have to have sex with this guy tomorrow. Like, I knew I was going to have sex with him. And I told my mom, I'm like, oh my God, mom, I have this cyst. My mom's like, don't drain it. Go to the doctor. Da, da, da. I'm like, I don't have time to go to the doctor and I need to get railed by this man. I sat on my friend's floor and just completely drained it.
That is the worst thing you can fucking do.
Horrible. I know.
That can get so infected. Like, lose half your vagina.
But this is the thing. I just drained it. Like, and I'm telling you, the most liquid ever came out of it. Like, it was so foul. I can't even explain. Like, it drained for so long. There was so much blood. There was so much everything. I know that's all horrible. Do not follow in my footsteps. I did it. It went away. Never had it again. It was completely fine.
Do not take that.
Don't take that advice.
I'm so serious. So like, my friend had one in high school and it was like a whole thing. And she was like telling us about it. Like, oh my God, that's so crazy. Then I kid you not, like 2 years later, I had one. And this happened to me like in summer, and I'm pretty sure it's like a summer thing from like sweating or something. Like, I was like Googling it or whatever. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways, and I had a gigantic one. It was so painful. I'm telling you, like, one of my vagina lips was like twice the size as the other. I'm so serious. It was like, I was like, I have like cancer or something. Like, I'm being vagina cancer.
I'm so labia serious. Cancer.
I was like, what? What is happening to me? It's just like one giant thing. My one lip is twice the size as the other lip. I call my one friend who I haven't talked to in probably 2 years, the one that had it in high school. And I'm like, hey, I think I have what you had in high school. What did you do? And she's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I literally took a warm bath and it went away. But she was like, do not drain it, because our other friend had drained hers and ended up in the hospital.
Yeah, I'm sure it's so easy for it to get infected.
Like, it is the worst thing you can do.
I probably wouldn't have done it other than the fact that I was so desperate to have sex with this man. And I only had one opportunity, I'm telling you, because I was like visiting my friend. So it was like, I have to take this opportunity and run with it. And it's horrible. And I know that it did end up being completely fine for me. Like, it just went away and it was all good. But
it will not be fine for you. Let me tell you that right now. No, whoever's listening, do not listen to that.
I know. I really, really am not like encouraging it. That is horrible.
Not encouraging it. You're saying it's fine. Some girls be like, oh, well, no. It was fine for Hal. It's be fine for me.
No, I'm telling you, it's not. I'm just I'm sorry. I had to do what I had to do. I'm just thinking, my friend also didn't, oh my God, my friend didn't know that I was doing this. Like, I was in her guest bedroom and I'm like doing it on her floor. She still doesn't know to this day. Sorry. And then the door didn't have a lock either. So I was sitting up against the door because I was like, if somebody opens this door and sees me draining my vagina cyst on this paper towel right now, I will kill myself. And so I'm like pushed my back up against the door, draining it, because I was like, if anybody walks in, I'm literally going to kill myself. Yeah.
But they're very painful. But if you take a warm bath, like I'm like a not even warm, but like a very hot bath, and like low key soak your vagina, I'm so serious.
Probably go to the doctor.
No, but like you're supposed to, like, if it doesn't go away within a certain amount of time, you're supposed to go to the doctor. Sorry, okay. Come on. If it doesn't go away in a certain amount of time, you're supposed to go to the doctor. Okay. This is like day one though, and like it was already, I was in so much pain. Smoked a blunt, sat in the bath, put some TV on my iPad. Sat there for 30 minutes, watched an episode of, like, what was I fucking watching? Like, Glee or something.
Okay.
And I got out. I was like, oh, it's back to normal.
Oh, but my God.
It was very painful.
Yeah.
So, I'm like, that's so relatable because you said it. And, like, it happened to me, too. Everyone listens, like, that's never happened to anyone I know.
No, I think it's a pretty relatively common thing.
No, it is. When I Googled it that I'm one sure. time, it was like,
everyone's
like cases of year or whatever, you know?
I'm sure everyone gets one from time to time.
Yeah, but that was really fucking scary. What else? I feel like you used to be afraid of rejection. Now you're not anymore.
Oh, well, yeah, that's really honestly one of the good I'm trying to see in my whole getting broken up with is like no rejection can be worse than what I experienced. So really it's like, who gives a fuck? If I could survive that, it's things that it's just like you realize, oh, what the fuck was I so afraid of? Like, who is really judging you for that? No one. I was like, oh, it's so embarrassing if I like somebody and they don't like me back. Bitch, you were in love with somebody and they still didn't love you back. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, I thought that would literally kill me. I realized it didn't. So why would I sit here and care if a random man at the bar is like, nah, I'm good, sis. Like, thanks.
Yeah, I think it's obviously easier said than done, but overall, like, it's never that serious and it's never that deep. And I think that if you can just get through the first one, the first time you get rejected and you realize, oh, like, that wasn't the end of the world and it wasn't that embarrassing and nothing bad really happened, you're like, oh, okay, like, next. And it just gets easier. Like, the more you do it, the easier it is. But, like, you know what? You might not get rejected.
Yeah.
It might be great.
Have you heard of like rejection theory, I think it is, where people like do stuff every day to get rejected so they can deal with rejection better?
No.
It's extremely embarrassing. And I'll just, this person I kind of know would always do it. And he's just like a meme in itself. And so it's extremely funny to think that he would post about it on his Instagram stories every day and be like, today's rejection theory. And he would go to like Starbucks and literally be like, can I get a latte? The barista's like, yeah. He's like, I'd like 20% off of it, please. And you just like say things like that. And I'm like, while I'm like, I'm sure that's teaching you some like good, it's probably useful for you. It's like, really, you're making that poor fucking Starbucks barista like have to deal with your ass asking for 20% off? Like, they're getting paid minimum wage. Like, they don't want to do that. But it's a good thing in theory.
I get the concept, though, because it's like this, it's the same concept as like affirmations, but like the opposite.
Yeah. Like, I guess if you get so used to it every single day that it won't bother you, so then you will be more willing to be brave and bold because you can handle like all of those embarrassing little things every single day. But I personally wouldn't partake in that. But I think you could almost practice your own rejection theory like at a bar. It's like, just one night, take a shot, get a little liquid courage, and just go up to somebody and like hit on them in a appropriate and respectful way and see what happens. If they like it and it goes well, great. Oh my God, you just met a man. If it goes bad, guess what? You walk over to your friends, you're like, LOL for the plot, haha, laugh it off and suck it up and move on.
Yeah, I fully agree. Also, just like with rejection, like whether it's like in person, yes, but like whether you want to ask someone to hang out or ask someone to go to something, it's like, they're like, no thanks. Okay, it's like, what, you find someone else to ask to hang out? Like, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Like, I get the anxiety because I have a lot of anxiety and I used to have a really hard time with that. But it's just like, the more you do it, the less deep it is.
Agree.
Anything else you had written down? This was the biggest FaceTime call episode.
This is just so, that was like almost 2 hours probably.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. We're just having fun. Yeah. You know, like this podcast is just meant to like be like, you guys are just hanging out with us. What did you want to tell me earlier? You're like, I'll tell you on the podcast.
Oh, I'm going to therapy.
Hallie, I've been waiting for this moment my entire life.
I know.
Not my entire life, but like since I met you.
I know.
If you like go back to old episodes, like, I've been like, I think you should go to therapy.
Shout out to my ex for pushing me over the edge. anyway, I am fine. Like, I could so do it without therapy.
I don't think you need to be fine to go to therapy.
You mean not fine?
Yeah. Like, I don't think therapy is like a be-all, fix-all, none of that. I think it's a useful tool to have or a useful outlet to have, whether you're doing good or bad or in between.
Well, so the therapy that I'm going to is, it's like situational. So like, I will be honest, I'm having a situation currently that I'm just having to work through getting past every single week as I see more things. And I have been just struggling to cope with that. I've been doing better and better each week, but it's definitely been an adjustment. And I'm going, like, this therapy, it's like they tell you at the beginning, like, you explain the situation, and then they're kind of like, this is how many sessions that you're gonna need to have, because it's not like a lifelong therapist. It's like cognitive behavioral therapy, I think. I don't know.
My therapist also does that for, like, because it depends on, like, the client they have.
Yeah. Because, like, see, I don't know if really, I think I could just see myself, like, when I'm in a better place, just canceling every single fucking week and not doing it, because I just don't think therapy is my journey every single day. But I do think I need some redirection. Honestly, I'm gonna be so for real, I've beat the topic into the ground with every single person in my life. I'm like, I need to pay somebody at this point that I can talk to about it. But I think that it'll be good, and hopefully, I don't know, we'll just see. And if it sucks, or I'm like, this is stupid, I can just stop and it's fine. Kind of annoying though, because like my insurance, like basically I just found this girl and I was like, oh, I really, she just, I can tell from her look, I was like, I want to talk to her. And so I'm just like, I just know we would vibe. And my insurance like doesn't cover it, and so it's like $300 a session, which is
I pay that every week.
And I know. And I'm like, but I'm like, if it's only like 5 sessions over the course of whatever, 10 sessions, okay. If I'm doing it every week or every 2 weeks paying $300, like, to me, that's simply not worth it. And it's like, I need to find an in-network provider. But I've kind of just had my mind set on this girl. And I'm like, all right.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's me with my, I've had my therapist for years. I'm like, we're such, like, I can't have someone else. And yeah. I don't even go every week anymore. I go like once a month now. But like, there were times where I was going like twice a week.
Yeah.
Because my situation was so much worse. And I wanted to get the tools. And like now, like, times where I'd want to talk about it, it's like, oh, I've had the tools from those previous sessions to work through it on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Should be interesting. We'll
see. Curious to hear how it goes for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll really like it and stick with it. But yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think, this is a long episode. Sorry, guys. Like, actually, I'm not sorry because, like, you can turn it off.
Yeah. No, I would enjoy. It's like, it can never be too long, in my opinion, because it's like, I listen to podcasts just while I'm doing stuff, and then I'll stop them, and then I always just return to them. Yeah. AKA, I only listen to one and it's canceled. But I love, if they put out a fucking 5-hour long episode, I'd be like, thank God. Like, yeah. That would make my week. So
I also listen to episodes like really fast, like on like 2x speed, because I think it's funnier to hear people's voices that way. I listen to them when I'm high normally, and I think it's just like better.
Okay.
So that's my vibe. But thanks for listening, guys. A lot of fun, exciting stuff happening in 2024 for the pod.
Yeah.
So good things are coming. We're excited to see you guys and just like do some fun stuff. So stay tuned for that. Follow us on Instagram, Delusional Diaries Podcast, TikTok, Delusional Diaries Podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube at Delusional Diaries Podcast. And leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And we'll see you next year.